Thank you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 2. The following stories were given by members of the First Presidency during various church-wide broadcasts of their annual Christmas devotional. Each has a message that can enrich our lives and lift our spirit during this special season. President Thomas S. Monson is known for his special attention to many widows who lived in his ward where he served as a young bishop. We begin this collection with a story told by President Monson at the 2006 Christmas devotional of a special memory about one of these widows he visited each Christmas.
When I served as a bishop many years ago, I would take a week of vacation from my employment each Christmas time to visit personally the 87 widows who lived in my ward, providing a small remembrance to each, most often a nicely dressed chicken, which could provide a welcome and delicious meal or two. One whom I visited was Elizabeth Keachy, a petite widow who had come to the United States from Scotland many years earlier. Lizzie, as we called her, was a perfectionist. Her home was always immaculately clean, with everything in its place. Indicative of her desire for perfection was the fact that she cleaned and polished her windows, inside and out, once a week. This attention to detail applied to everything she had in her home. Each year at Christmas time, Lizzie baked a large, delicious shortbread cake for me. When I would make my Christmas visit to her small home, she'd present me with this perfect, beautifully formed and baked shortbread delicacy. One year, as I knocked at her door, Lizzie greeted me and invited me in, as usual. On this occasion, however, I could sense that something was amiss. I asked if there might be something wrong, and her tears began to flow. She explained that she had just completed baking my shortbread gift and had discovered on removing it from the oven that it had a large crack running through it. To a perfectionist such as Lizzie, this was an enormous catastrophe. With some coaxing from me, she finally brought the large piece of shortbread in to show me, whereupon her tears flowed even more freely. I assured Lizzie that the cracked shortbread would taste just as good as if it were perfect, but she was still very unhappy. I tried to think of something I could say to help her feel better. Then the inspiration came. I said, "Lizzie, do you have some milk in the house?" "Well, yes," she answered. "All right, let's pour two glasses of milk and sit down right now and enjoy this shortbread." I could see her countenance brighten just a little as she poured the milk. By the time we'd finished eating the cracked shortbread and drinking our milk, her smile had returned. Thus began a cherished tradition. Every Christmas afterward, as I would call at Elizabeth Keachy's home, she had two shortbread treats waiting for me. One would be perfect in every respect, wrapped carefully so that I could take it home with me. The other would be purposely cracked that we might eat it then and there with a cold glass of milk. Until Lizzie passed away some years later, we enjoyed our milk and cracked shortbread each Christmas time. I miss the sweet spirit of Elizabeth Keachy, as well as all the other widows who have since passed away. However, each one provides a cherished Christmas memory, along with so many other memories of Christmases gone by. The Christmases we remember best usually have little to do with worldly goods, but a lot to do with a spirit of caring, a spirit of love, and a spirit of compassion.
In the 2008 Christmas devotional, President Monson shared more experiences with some elderly ladies that demonstrate how his service was appreciated.
Years ago, I paid a Christmas call at the home of an elderly widow. Well, there the doorbell rang. There stood a very busy and prominent physician. He had not been summoned. Rather, he had just felt a prompting to pay a visit to a patient who was lonely. During this season, the hearts of those who are confined reach out and yearn for a Christmas visit. One Christmas, while visiting a care center, I sat and talked with the elderly ladies, the eldest of whom was 101 years of age. She was blind, yet she recognized my voice and said to me, "Bishop, you're a little late this year. I thought you'd never come." Then she proceeded to outline her funeral service, indicating that it was all arranged and paid for. She was Scottish. She added, "You're to speak at my funeral and recite the poem Crossing the Bar by Tennyson. In fact, let's hear it now." Searching somewhat desperately for the words, all the other widows looking on, I began, "Sunset, an evening star, and one clear call for me. And may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea." And continued through the poem. At the conclusion, a wry smile crossed her face. She said, "That was pretty good, Tommy. But see that you practice a bit before my funeral." "And I want two verses." We had a wonderful time together. One patient, a little woman with a humpback, looked longingly out the window where she'd worn out the curtain. This was repeated over and over again. She said to me, "I know my boy will come to see me today." I wondered if he would, for there have been other Christmas seasons when he had never even called.
There are so many people in need of a visit or a kind word at this giving time of year. In the 2002 Christmas devotional, President Thomas S. Monson shared a giving experience he had as a young boy and how it made him feel.
"I recall a memorable Christmas of boyhood when my mother took me to the toy land at each Salt Lake City department store. One store had advertised that it would give away a beautiful Shetland pony. Each boy or girl was invited to write a note telling why the pony would be a welcomed Christmas gift. The signed note was then placed in a large box next to the area where the pony was stabled, right there in Toyland. The lucky winner would be announced at an appointed day and hour. I was absolutely certain that I would win the pony. In fact, I prepared some straw and provided some hay in my sister's playhouse. That pony would have a home. At the time of the announcement, Mother and I were on hand. Alas, my name was not read. Another had won the prize. I was heartbroken. As we left the store, I noticed a man bundled up against the frigid air of winter. He held in his hand a bell, the sound of which directed attention to a small kettle suspended in the air by a triangle frame. We paused, and Mother placed, I believe, a silver dollar in the kettle. She then turned to me and said, "Tommy, do you have any money you would like to give?" "The money is given to the poor for Christmas." These were depression times. I reached in my pocket and produced two nickels, which represented all that I had, and dropped them into the kettle, first one and then the other. I still remember how warm and happy I felt after doing so. That day, I didn't win the pony, but I received a far greater gift, even the smile of God's approval.
Christmas time creates lasting memories that can keep us focused on the Savior. In the 1999 Christmas devotional, President Thomas S. Monson shared one such cherished memory about participating in a Christmas pageant as a young boy.
At home, hidden away in a corner, I have a small black cane with an imitation silver handle. It once belonged to a distant relative. Why have I kept it for a period now spanning 65 years? There's a special reason. You see, as a very small boy, I participated in a Christmas pageant in our ward. I was privileged to be one of the three wise men. With a bandana about my head, mother's chicoring piano bench cover draped over my shoulder, and the black cane in my hand like a staff, I spoke my assigned lines. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I don't recall all the words of that pageant, but I do remember vividly the feelings of my heart as the three of us, wise men, looked upward, saw the star, journeyed across the stage, found Mary with the young child Jesus, and then fell down and worshiped him and opened our treasures and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I especially liked the fact that we did not return to the evil Herod to betray the baby Jesus, but obeyed God and departed another way. The years have flown by. The events of a busy life take their proper places in the hallowed halls of memory. But the Christmas cane continues to occupy its special place in my home and in my heart is a continuing commitment to Christ. There is no better time than now, this very Christmas season, for all of us to rededicate ourselves to the principles taught by Jesus Christ. It is the time to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our neighbors as ourselves. It is well to remember that he who gives money gives much. He who gives time gives more. But he who gives of himself gives all.
Our last account in this gift package of stories was told by President James E. Faust in the 2006 Christmas devotional. President Faust spoke of a young mother and how she was affected by the kindness of others at a Christmas time years ago.
In September 1960, a young mother found herself alone with six hungry children and just 75 cents in her pocket. Their father was gone. The boys ranged from 3 months to 7 years, and their sister was two. The mother scrubbed the kids until they looked brand new and loaded them into the rusty old 1952 Chevy and drove off to find a job. She tried every factory, store, and restaurant in their small Indiana town, but with no luck. The last place she went to, just a few miles out of town, was an old drive-in that had been converted into a truck stop. It was called the Big Wheel. An old lady named Granny owned the place. She needed someone on the graveyard shift, 11 at night until 7 in the morning. The job paid 65 cents an hour. The eager young mother raced home and called a teenager down the street to see if she would babysit. She made a deal with the teenager to come and sleep on the sofa for a dollar a night while the kids slept. And so this young mother began to work the Big Wheel. The tires on her old Chevy were very worn and began to leak, so that she had to fill them with air on the way to work and again every morning on the way home. One bleak fall morning, as she dragged herself to the car to go home, she found four tires in the back seat. Four new tires. There was no note, just those beautiful brand new tires. She made a deal with the local service station. She cleaned the office in exchange for mounting of the tires. Christmas was coming, and the young mother knew there would be no money to buy toys for the children. She found a can of red paint and started repairing and painting some old toys, then hid them in the basements so there would be something for Santa to deliver on Christmas morning. On Christmas Eve, the usual truckers, Les, Frank, and Jim, and a state trooper named Joe were all sitting around at the big wheel. They talked through the wee hours of the morning and then left to get home before the sun came up. When it came time for this young mother to go home on Christmas morning, she hurried to her car, hoping the kids wouldn't wake up before she managed to get home and get the presents from the basement. It was not yet light outside, and there appeared some dark shadows in the car. Something certainly looked different, but it was hard to tell just what. When she peered into the car, she saw into the side windows. Her jaw dropped with amazement. The old battered Chevy was filled to the top with boxes of all shapes and sizes. Reaching in, she pulled off the lid of the top box. Inside was a whole case of little blue jeans, sizes 2 to 10. Another box was full of shirts to go with the jeans. Some of the other boxes contained candy and nuts and bananas. There were bags of groceries, an enormous ham for baking, canned vegetables, potatoes, pudding, Jell-O, cookies, pie filling, and flour. And there were 5 toy trucks and 1 beautiful little doll. As that young mother drove back through empty streets on that most amazing Christmas day, she sobbed with gratitude. She would never forget the joy on the faces of those little ones that precious Christmas morning. Surely there were angels in Indiana that long ago December, and many of them hung out at the big wheel truck stop.
May we be the angels that cause warm memories for others this Christmas season. The scriptures teach that when we are in the service of others, we are only in the service of God. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 2. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can learn more about the Mormon Channel and check other programming at radio.lds.org. Thank you for joining us, and Merry Christmas from the Mormon Channel.